today on Real Radio.
Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 says he's crazy about you. It says in Zephaniah 3:17 that when you get to heaven, he's going to sing to you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? God's going to show up. Come on, this is real. It's Bible. You want to turn there? Go turn there. He's going to sing you a song. Can you imagine? What does he sound like?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "Is That Your Final Answer?" continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 6 today, verses 15 through 18. In this chapter, we find that we cannot be saved from our sins just by doing good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, and only Him. In these final verses of the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul tells us how much God wants to bless us. He does this by giving us a brand new start. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become a new creation in Him. Old things are now passed away as we embrace the Lord's gospel of grace. Christ also redeemed us from the law, purifying us to be His own people. Today, on day two of this lesson, Jesus Christ is our final answer. The scars that we bear from being a believer are the marks of divine favor, and we are overjoyed that His delight is with us and that His grace will take us to heaven. And now, continuing in his lesson called, Is That Your Final Answer? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says in the book of Romans that Jesus Christ is our advocate. That's a legal term. It means, by the way, in the Greek, it's parakletos. He stands alongside of us to argue our case, to comfort us. He's our attorney. The Bible also says that we have an accuser, another legal term. You know what his name is, anybody? Yeah, Satan, otherwise known as Louis or Lucifer. The Bible says that Lucifer attacks us day and night before the throne of God. Hey, remember what you were doing last night? The thing that you didn't want me to bring up? The thing that you only have in your mind and you're praying that God can't see it? That thing? Guess what? The cat's out of the bag, or the sin's in the bucket. And Satan's standing there and he opened up the file last night already. And he said, God, I've got the goods on Betty here. Betty was out there and she was doing this and she was doing that with Billy Bob. It's Billy Bob and Betty. And I saw him and it was this and it was that, and that's the deal. And I've got the evidence. And he's right. Satan's right. It's true. He's got the goods on us. We're in trouble. And he stands before the great bench of God. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, he accuses us day and night. So you thought you made it through a day doing okay. Satan is chewing on you before God day and night. He did this, he said that. He did this, he said that. And then God the Father says, what should I do with this accusation? It's true. Jesus stands up, parakletos, our advocate. Both of them approach the bench. Jesus leans on the bench and says, hey, Dad, cut him a break. I died on the cross for his sins. He believes in me. Yeah, he was sending up a storm the other night, but you know what happened? He came to Jesus the other day at Calvary Chapel. He accepted the Lord. He received me. What I did on the cross, he asked me to apply that to his account. I canceled out his debt. And not only that, but I filled his account with my wealth of righteousness. He's safe in me. I'm his advocate. The word in redemption is called propitiation. I am his substitute. So not only am I his attorney, but if you're going to carry out any execution, then you got to do it against me. But then the Father would look over the bench and say, I already did that with you on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus would say, my point exactly. It's all paid for. And Satan, you can hear him snap his briefcase, hang his head down, and he whimpers all the way out of the courtroom. Case dismissed. Do you know what it's like to know this, to have this reality in your life? That's Paul's argument, that the churches of Galatia would come back to that simplicity. He says in verse 17, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Simply this, and we'll be on. You want to get legalistic about things? You want to parade your achievements? Oh, Judaizer, those of you who have invaded the churches of Galatia, you want to preach the law? You want to tell me how good you are? You want to tell me and show me that you're circumcised? I'll tell you what. If you want to start showing marks and images or events that depict association with God, preeminently circumcision according to the Jew and the legalist, then I'll show you proof. And this is what Paul says here. The word marks in your Bible, you need to mark it. It's the Greek word stigma. It's the root word to stigmata. Paul says, you want to compare scars? I'll compare scars. And it implies that Paul could have opened up his robe or opened up the robe and let his back be shown, and you would have seen marks all over his twisted body. Scars, beatings. Why? We read the book of Acts. Paul was beaten nearly to the point of death many times for his faith in Jesus. He was stoned with rocks in Lystra, brutally beaten. One time, they were convinced that he was dead. And I think he was. I believe he did die. So Paul says, you want to boast about achievements? Then bring out all your scars. Let's see them all. Well, I got this. I went to the mule. I got the circumcision. I'm a Jew. I'm righteous. See, look. Paul says, oh, you want to compare scars, huh? Then get a load of this. And he opens up his chest, or his robe, and the scars from beatings. You want to talk about association with God? You want to talk about knowing the Lord? I know Jesus to the point that the world hates me. I'm associated with Jesus. If you look at my back, it hints slightly, ever so slightly, of his back. Look at my face. I was beaten with stones. See these scars? You want to talk about marks? And you know what? Every one of us who know the Lord, we've got marks. It may not be physical in this world yet, in America, but we have marks. We've stood for Christ, or we've told our moms or our dads. I remember the first time I told my dad about Jesus. He said, let me get this straight. God sent his son from heaven into the world to die for our sins? I said, that's right. He goes, that's what God did, huh? I said, yeah. He goes, then God's a fool. And I thought the house was going to burn down. I was petrified for my dad's eternity. Thank God my dad's heart softened and he came to Christ. But those scars, you have those. When people have attacked you for your relationship with God. And those are scars that we don't apologize for. Those are scars that we love. Because they speak of our association with Christ. My friend, what's your final answer about this? Do you know him like that? Well, the third and final point we end with this is in verse 18. God wants us overjoyed in this life. So are you sure? Oh, yeah. Look at verse 18. Brethren, dear term. The word brethren is reserved only for believers. Hey, Christians. Hey, those of you at church on October 6th, you, brethren, my brothers and sisters, stop right there. What if we could call Captain Kirk and he could beam down Paul to us right now? Can you imagine? Play with me for a moment. There's a pillar of light that comes above the pulpit here, and a silhouette begins to form, and then what looks almost like a ghost begins to take form, and it's Paul. Little guy, about 5 feet maximum in height. Skinny, skinny bow legs. Spending too much time on a horse. Traveling around the world, you know. Bald-headed, eyes real close together in the middle, to the point that it was so obvious that people made comments. He's got funny eyes stuck together. Big hook nose. He was brilliant, but he couldn't articulate very well. Did you know that? Apollos, he was the speaker. If you wanted to have the blue light special broadcast to the community, you gave that to Apollos. But if you wanted to win a court case, you took Paul. And he's standing there. And he's looking at all of us. And he might look back, who are these people? Paul, they're Christians. These many. Yes. Praise the Lord. Do they read my books? Yes. Great. He would say, you, brethren, you. His eyes would change. His smile would come on. He would light up. Because Paul knew he was speaking to people that he would spend eternity with. And he would have a passion. He'd say, brethren, and he does what he can only do. He announces in verse 18, the last breath to the Galatians, he says the magic word, the glorious word. What is it? Grace. Grace, the very thing that cost God everything he had. Grace. Unearned, unmerited, undeserving, overwhelming, divine favor. Meaning this, we would say in our earthly life, doting or to dote. Just, oh, look at them. Look at them, look at them. Look, there they go. Oh, look, they're standing. Look, they're sitting down. God looks at you with divine favor. Look at you, look at you. Oh, there you go, look. Yeah, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. You say, you got to be kidding me. I'm not kidding you. See, I thought God was watching me to see if I'd step out of line. He'd smack me. No, God's watching you because he can't take his eyes off you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says he's crazy about you. It says in Zephaniah 3, 17 that when you get to heaven, he's going to sing to you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God's going to show up? Come on, this is real. It's Bible. You want to turn there? Go turn there. He's going to sing you a song. Can you imagine how? What does he sound like? What's he going to do? It's going to be amazing. Say, I can't believe it. You better. He's going to do it. See, you and I, we balk. Not that God can't sing. He can sing. We have a hard time seeing him sing. And then if I push the envelope to reality, biblically, he's going to sing to you and me. And you say, now that's where I draw the line. Because I cannot imagine that I will be so loved by God, so favored by him, that he would say, you're here. All right, I'm joking. I wasn't doubting that you'd be here. I knew before the world was ever created that you'd come to faith in me and believe in me. Come on in. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hey, that's me. That was prepared for you before the foundations of the world were ever laid. Come on in. Sit down. And the Bible there says in Zephaniah 3 that he's going to sing to us. And the Hebrew word implies also that he's going to delight or he's going to twirl. He's going to spin in our presence with glee. God will. And for a legalist to hear this, it is almost sacrilegious or blasphemous to suggest such a thing. Legalism cannot see God that way. But if you have that personal relationship with Jesus, I wouldn't doubt if you and I get up and start dancing with him. We will see Christ face to face in that day. Job says, I tell you what, I don't know much, but I know this, that in my flesh I will see God. It's called resurrection. In heaven with him forever. What a great hope. Brand new bodies, brand new minds, brand new hearts, brand new life. And all of us over 40 say, amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, he says in Hebrew. Amen. That is, let it be true. The things that I've uttered are fact, undisputable. He can't close the book without giving the answer. One more time. Paul says, you want to know my final answer? That's my final answer. You want to know my final answer? Paul's saying, somebody ask me, what's my final answer? My final answer is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. It's kind of like Jeopardy, huh? Kind of like total peace, forgiveness of sins, direction and meaning of life, assurance of heaven, eternal love. I got it, Alex. What is it? What is grace? Yes, you win. 500. That's it. The final answer to Regis Philbin is grace. The final answer to legalism is grace. Salvation, assurance, peace, forgiveness, life, grace. There go I, but for the grace of God. And here go we, by and through the grace of God. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for your word that has been to us a light and a lamp unto the path and to our feet in our journey. Father, we thank you so much that right now we are richer as a people than we were some 40 weeks ago, I think it was. We are blessed, forgiven, and on our way to heaven. It's an amazing thing, Lord, to read that your word will see to it that we get there. Your spirit, Holy Spirit, will present us before your presence faultless. We have to receive these things, Lord, by faith. For us, we know all our failures and sins, and we hate them. We've tried to dress them up. We've tried to put enough cosmetic on it or spin it a certain way so people might think of us to be someone that we're not, or we tried to relegate that event of our lives and times past down to something that was just a little human anomaly. Well, we would say, after all, I'm just human. And I guess if you compare human to human, we're probably not too bad. But you never asked us to do that. You asked us in our own righteousness to compare our humanity next to perfect divinity. And when we do that, our eyes grow dim, our chin slumps to our chest, our shoulders sink. And we will either stay in that lost condition, or we will take our tear-filled eyes, lift them up toward heaven, and lift our hand and beat upon our chest and say, my God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My friend, this morning, where are you in that analogy? What is your final answer? To live in your sins, to doctor them up, cosmetic, put a spin on it, deny it, redefine words and say it's not really applicable to you? Or will you look God in the face with tear-filled eyes and say, I have no strength or ability to save myself? My God in heaven, I pray, I believe you died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Dear God, I want to receive the Jesus that Paul speaks of in this great letter. As I interrupt my prayer right now, Christians, please be interceding right now for those that are around you. Today, it's finally time. You've been holding out for too long. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand where you're at. You're going to finally now vote for Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior right where you're at. People be praying, no one looking around. I'll see your hand and I'll just acknowledge your hand. And then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. God bless you in the back. You can put your hand down up here near the front on the side. Anyone else? You're voting for Jesus Christ. You here to my left. God bless you. Anyone else? Let me see your hand off to the right. God bless you, young man. Anyone else? Way in the back. Several of you in the back. God bless you guys in the back. Anyone else? Oh, yeah, a couple of you in the back to my left, over here in the back. There may be a critic or a cynic in the flock right now. That's okay. I am one of those people too. You might be saying, get real, Pastor. How can a raising of a hand save anybody? Well, I want you to think real hard right now. Nobody said in this room and in this message that if you raised your hand, you'd get saved. I said if you believe in Jesus Christ and you want to receive him, that's a decision that you make with your head and your heart. You put the two together, you think, and you become one in mind, and you decide that. Well, then why with the raising of the hand? Because everybody Jesus called in the Bible, he called them publicly, either before himself or other people. It's a public announcement that God is working in their hearts and they're coming to Christ right now. It's not the magical raising of the hand, nor is it a magical prayer. If these people believe the word of God heard today, they will be saved. You see, I've only done the message part. Now it's up to them to have intercourse between God and their communion, one with him. Anyone else in this last moment, you understand it? Yes, God bless you. Excellent. Anyone else? My goodness, everywhere here, and both of you in the back? Let's just keep fishing. The Lord's moving. Anyone else? Yeah, God bless you. And in the very back too, up front. He loves you so much. Why would you live anymore in this world? You know, tomorrow's Monday morning. I'd hate to face it without him. Those of you who've raised your hands, I want to welcome you to the family of God and invite you in now. Christians, feel free to pray with them. It's a very much of an encouragement. If you even say it with them, they love it. We love it. It's great to pray. But mean it from your heart. Pray this prayer with you. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Write my name in your book of life. Save me. In Jesus' name, I believe that you died and rose again from the dead. And I thank you, God, for becoming my Lord and Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Is That Your Final Answer? Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you've made Christ your final answer because he is the only way towards everlasting life. Is That Your Final Answer? It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light. Today was day two of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ, or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We hope you've enjoyed our study in Galatians. And we want to let you know, for a limited time, you can get the uncut audio version of this series on the book of Galatians for a gift of any amount by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. In this series, the Apostle Paul shares with us the gospel of grace. We can have true spiritual victory in our lives when we discover that we can't save ourselves by doing good works or by keeping the law. We are saved simply by believing in and accepting Jesus Christ. Get your copy of the Galatians series, Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.